Good evening, folks. It's nice to have the opportunity once again of coming out and bringing the message of the Bible to those who are our friends and neighbours in the area. We missed last week, and that's because it rained, something that's not too usual this summer, though it was much more common on other summers. But it's nice to be back out again, and we're going to be looking once more at that verse of Scripture. If you have a Bible, make sure you get it open so that you make sure that I'm sticking to what the Word of God says. It's the last verse in the Bible but one. Not hard to find, therefore. Right at the back of the Bible, where the Lord Jesus says, "Behold, I come quickly." And we've been thinking about the coming of the Lord. Now, we'll be turning to that portion in just a minute or two, but as is our custom, we're going to sing some verses from a very well-known gospel hymn. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. I'm sure you know it, and I hope that you may even join in your own home, or at least listen as these words are sung.
And there you will find
the last words of the Lord Jesus Christ to his church. And he says, surely I come quickly. Surely I come quickly. Now, when we began looking at these words, we did point out to you that it has ever been the custom amongst men to honor and to value the last words of a friend before they depart. And how much more that ought to be the case that we honor, give special attention to the last words of the Lord Jesus before he departed from this world and closed the book of Holy Writ. And we want to do that tonight and give special attention to these words, for they hold for us a very special meaning. I think the fact that if you read this chapter 22, the last chapter in the last book of the Bible, you'll find the Savior said these same words three times. I leave you to search out the three different verses in that last chapter where you have the word of the Lord saying, surely I come again. Now, we said that the coming of the Lord Jesus is something that we can be absolutely certain of. He has said he's coming again. And so he is. So he is. There's a lot of things that men are looking forward to. A lot of things that are on the lips of men. Events planned and purposed. But very, very few ever give thought to this event, which I tell you is absolutely certain, the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. His coming the second time will be very different from his coming the first time. We did go into that the first time we were speaking with you. I don't want to go over the ground again other than to say that the second time he is coming visibly. That wasn't the case the first time, only a few were aware of his first coming. He's coming gloriously, and again, that wasn't the case the first time. You know that he was led as a babe in a manger, not a very glorious place. But that will not be the case when Jesus comes again. He'll come triumphantly. We know that the Savior, during his earthly ministry, was abused, attacked, criticized, mocked, sneered at, and finally was crucified. And to the world, that was the end of them. But that was not the end of the Lord Jesus Christ. He rose again from the dead. He ascended to his Father's right hand. And there he awaits the appointed hour when he will come again to this world. And when he comes again, he will come triumphantly. He will come to tread down his enemies, to rule this world, and to end the rule of men and lawlessness and rebellion. I want to think tonight about the third point that I find in these words. The Savior says, behold, or surely, I come quickly. Let me tell you that that little word, quickly, carries the meaning, I come without delay. I will not be hindered or stopped in my coming. Now, these words are spoken 2,000 years ago, and that's a long time. And people might be inclined to think, well, surely something has held back and hindered the Lord returning. But that is not the case. There's a verse of scripture, Psalm 90, verse 4, and it says, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night, a short time in the night hour. God does not look at time and the passage of the years as do men. Peter said this, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. I repeat, time does not mean to God what it means to men. 2,000 years have passed since the word of the Lord was given to us that he would come again. Men may count that an awful long time, a great delay, but it is not so with God. The return of Christ will come on an appointed day. An appointed day. There are some who believe that there are indications in the scripture that as in the very beginning, when God created all things, he did it in 6 days, and the seventh day was a day of rest. And that sequence of six followed by the seventh, a day of rest, some think, suggests that 6,000 years will pass, and then will come that period revealed to us in Scripture in many places, none more pointedly and specifically than in Revelation chapter 20, when this earth will see Christ reign for 1,000 years, and it's a reign of peace and quietness. And men say that the suggestion is that the Savior will return after 6,000 years and will reign for 1,000. Now, I myself just cannot point you specifically to any passage of Scripture that would very definitely say that, but I can see how that some might think that that is so. We are very close, I believe, to the return of Christ, and that's another subject in itself. There are signs that indicate that what he spoke of as marking the end of this age are indeed taking place. Here we are, standing in the evening time, it's after 8 o'clock, we have indication that the day is coming to a close. The light is diminishing. The sun is setting. And this day is coming to an end. In every realm of the passage of time, there's always an indication of the passage of time. We've passed the halfway mark in this year. What a wonderful summer we have had. But already the evenings are beginning to draw in, for we're heading toward the autumn and on toward the winter. And this year is dying. Another indication of the passage of time. And in like fashion, I tell you, there are signs that indicate the end of man's day and the dawn of the day of the Lord. That day will come at an appointed time. The Bible speaks about the coming of the Lord as the beginning of his day. This is not his day. The Savior said to those who persecuted him, who blasphemed against him, and who in the end crucified him, he said, this is your day. This is the day in which you are allowed to do what it is you want to do. But when Jesus comes again, there will begin his day. Listen to these words. But the Lord will have his day. We are told in Zephaniah, one of the many references I could read, but Zephaniah chapter 1, that's one of the minor prophets. You'll find it toward the end of the Old Testament. Zephaniah chapter 1 and the verse 7, the day of the Lord is at hand. That was a prophecy. And the prophet is marking the events that indicate that the return of Christ to this earth was evident. Zechariah chapter 14 and the verse 1 says, behold, the day of the Lord cometh. And again, the prophet set out signs that indicated that that day was coming. And there are many signs given us by the Lord Jesus concerning the time that he will return. He said himself, as it was in the days of Lot. You remember Lot? He was a citizen in the city of Sodom. And the Lord Jesus says, as it was in the days of Lot, day when sodomy and perverseness and corruption and wickedness abounded, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Anyone here who is in maturer years can look back to an Ulster in which there was no mention of sodomy and all the allied corruptions. That which fills the newspaper, that which is debated, that which is paraded on the streets of the cities of the world. There was no mention of it. But it's everywhere today, everywhere, demanding recognition, demanding that everybody respect that which is nothing more than a perversion. And the Lord Jesus said, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the day of the coming of the Son of Man. I tell you, the Lord's day is coming. It's a set day. He's going to intervene. Man is not going to have his way forever. But God will intervene. It's an appointed day. It's a day that's known only to God. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 36, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. If we could see, as it were, God's calendar, there is a day, there is an hour, there is a minute circled, which will bring about the return of Christ. It's appointed by God and known only to Him. Foolish men have speculated. Foolish men have set dates only to be confounded. They could have avoided that by just heeding the words of the Lord Jesus, that the day of the Lord is known only to the Father, and we will not know for sure until that day dawns. We'll see the signs of it. We'll see the approach of it. Indeed, the Savior tells His people, when ye see these signs, look up, for Christ is about to come. But I tell you, we cannot stand here tonight and say that on such and such a day, Christ will return. That's known only to God. But it will dawn, men and women, just as surely as July the 22nd dawned a few hours ago, so that day will dawn. Just think of it. Oh, I have thought about it. I thought about it a lot. I have rejoiced in anticipation of that day. I look forward to it. I've read my Bible and I've studied out what God says will follow the coming again of the Lord Jesus. And it fills me with joy just to read those things. For all that I would wish today was taking place in this world will take place then. And all the things that I wish today would stop will stop then. Oh, what a day when Jesus comes again. Oh, what a day. And it will come. It will come. I read to you a verse that actually was read in our service tonight by the preacher, although he was unaware that I planned to use the same verse in the open air. But it was a little indication to me that the Lord was in the meeting in the church and also here in the open air. If you have your Bible, look up Revelation, that's the last book of the Bible, chapter 6, the verse 15. We are shown in this chapter scenes upon the earth in the very last day. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the rocks and mountains, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand? The great day of his wrath is come. These are words coming from the lips of those who had long mocked the idea of Jesus Christ coming again in power. These are those who were leading the rebellion against the Lord Jesus and against his word and against his people. But here from their lips is wrung this cry of agony. The great day of his wrath is come. You can see something of the consternation of the wicked on that day. For they turn and they cry to the rocks and the mountains. And they say, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand? Oh, they knew they needed covering, but in vain did they ask the mountains to cover them. For my dear friend, when Jesus Christ comes again, there is only one covering. that will bring deliverance and will shield a sinner from the wrath of God. And that one covering is not church attendance. It's not baptism. It's not church membership. It's not good work. It's not confirmation, men and women. The one thing that will protect the sinner from the wrath of God is the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb. That's the message from Genesis right through to Revelation. There's only one thing will wash away our sins. There's only one thing that will deliver us from wrath. It's the blood of the Lamb. You know, in the book of Exodus, that's the second book of the Bible, in the chapter 12 and in the verse 11, that's not hard to remember, Exodus chapter 12, the verse 11. And in that chapter, God institutes amongst the Israelites who were in captivity in Egypt the Passover celebration. God was about to deliver his people from the bondage of Egypt. And he instructed them that before they would be delivered, they had to have a Passover. A lamb was slain, the flesh of the lamb was roasted, and they would eat of it. But the blood of the lamb was put upon the doorposts and upon the lintels of the home of the believing Israelite. And God says, I will pass through the land of Egypt. This is the next verse. This is Exodus 12, verse 12. I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be for you a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. That's why it was called the Passover. God passed over every house where the blood was upon the doorposts and upon the lintel. No judgment fell on that house. And on the day when Jesus Christ comes again, wrath will fall upon those assembled against him, those who reject him, those who refuse him. The only ones to escape that judgment, the only ones to stand, will be those who are covered in the blood of Jesus. That's why I don't preach church membership. That's why I don't preach that church attendance or baptism or any of the sacraments can deliver you from eternal damnation. It is only through the blood of Jesus Christ. As you listen in your home tonight, in the quietness of that home, look out those words that I have read to you. Look up those verses. Consider what I say. I'm not preaching my church. My church cannot save you. No church was ever set up to save you. The church should only be a voice crying out the message of God. And the message of God is, repent and believe the gospel and get under the blood of the Lamb. Will you do that, my friends? Will you come to Christ? Will you ask him for salvation? And pray that he will wash you in his precious blood. May you do that. Will you do that tonight? Thank you for listening. You know there's always a welcome up there on the hill at our meeting. And the emphasis of our meetings is what the Bible says. That's all what the Bible says. The Lord bless you. We're going to close in a word of prayer. Oh God, write your word in hearts. Speak to men and women. We pray of thee. Make them to think about that day that's coming. Oh, it's coming, Lord. It's coming. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. The men and women be ready for that day by being washed in the blood of the Lamb. Bless your word to heart. We ask of thee for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Thank you for listening.